this past 2 weeks in updating the church website, cbcg.org, it occurred that we need to also tie this in with the Holy Bible in its original order. So there are two websites. One is called the Holy Bible Restored, and that's the one Bob Ellsworth and Mike McKinney use for their sales. We also have one restoring the original Bible, which is what we use. And so we're not in competition with Bob. He works the contacts and things that he does, and if he comes this afternoon, he can explain to you what he's done. He's even taken on an ad in one edition of National Geographic, 1.4 million. Okay. Now, if that goes well, we may be reprinting the second edition a whole lot sooner than we expected. And on the website that we have advertised on WND, World Net Daily, and also on Ann Coulter's, you know, one of my cousins somewhere on the family tree, three or four times removed. Okay. The Coulter ancestry goes back to Worcester, Mass., and she lives in Connecticut, about 50 miles. That's where she was born. She lives down in Florida now. See, all of the famous Northeasterners, you know, they followed what Rush Limbaugh did. He moved to Florida, and he said, I'm moving down here to get New York's greedy hands out of my pockets. So he very rarely comes to New York. So we also had a click-through from her bulletin that went out. We advertised in the Whistleblower magazine, it's not the economy, stupid, it's God. And we also had an ad for the Bible. Well, what occurred to me is this. We need to reconfigure, which we've been doing in updating the church website, cbcg.org. We've been bringing that all up to date. We will go online with the new updated website the first week in January. And I think you're really going to like it. So what we have done, we have improved the home page. So in working with developing the new CBCG website, because you see, it's really quite unusual to have the website cbcg.org and to have over 400,000 visitors a year. So concerning the Bible and concerning what we have been able to do, I worked up this new home page for the website. Now we may make certain additions to it. Matter of fact, already made an addition to it in the third paragraph. So when they come on to the home page, they will see this in banners. Christian Biblical Church of God, restoring original Christianity for today. Because that's what our job is. And I have read this, so they will hear my voice too. So let's just go through this, and then we will analyze the various scriptures behind all of what is written here. Welcome to the homepage of the Christian Biblical Church of God website. We are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. the true original gospel as revealed and taught by Jesus Christ and his personally chosen apostles and preserved in the God-breathed New Testament. Therefore, we are scripturalists. We believe and practice the Word of God as inspired and preserved in the Holy Bible, Old and New Testaments. We strictly follow the Bible and recapture the true biblical meaning of the Word of God by comparing Scripture with Scripture to prove all things. We do not accept, teach, or practice any traditions of men regardless of their claims, whether from Judaism, Catholicism, Orthodox, or Protestantism. The founding battle cry of original Protestantism, sola scriptura, meaning the Scriptures and Scriptures only, has long been forgotten and ignored by the Protestants and rejected by the Catholics. As a result, all Orthodox Christendom has gone astray and are now merely practicing Christianized pagan traditions, teachings, and philosophies of men. The subversion of the Church of God by false ministers with false teachings was gaining prominence in the time leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. In his urgent epistle, the Apostle Jude, the brother of Jesus, sounded the alarm of this insidious apostasy gaining power when he wrote, "Beloved, when personally exerting all diligence to write to you concerning the common salvation, I was compelled to write to you exhorting you to fervently fight for the faith which once for all time has been delivered to the saints. For certain men have stealthily crept in, those who long ago have been written about, condemning them to this judgment. They are ungodly men who are perverting the grace of our God, turning it into licentiousness, and are personally denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." The mission of the Christian Biblical Church of God is to faithfully undertake restoring original Christianity for today. Now, I added this since this was printed out. And the authentic worship of God in spirit and in truth. Our site, our website, cbcg.org, offers both visual and audio studies in a wide range of biblical subjects to help you come to a full understanding of the fundamental teachings of the Bible and the true original apostolic Christianity founded by Jesus Christ. This site is designed to help you progress from basic biblical teachings to more advanced detailed studies. We have in-depth verse-by-verse studies of nearly all books of the New Testament. All topics are networked so that you may enter at any level of study and move with ease from one topic to another. Please direct any comments and questions concerning this website to our webmaster at the address below. So that will be the home page. We had up there for a good number of years about my resigning from WCG, which is out of date right now. So we need to have something new, original, powerful, straight to the point, not placating anyone or playing politics with anyone, and pulling no punches, but by comparing everything to the Scriptures. So what we will do on Church at Home, and I have the first 20 videos done, and Randy is working on editing them. We hope to have that up by the middle of January, and it is going to have an impact. And it's directed for brand new people, because you can't find anything in the churches of this world And even in some churches of God, you can't find very much. And so, restoring original Christianity for today, we need to put that throughout the website, because and also the Church at Home website, because of this. When you have a Google search, they count the number of times that you have, like, restoring original Christianity for today. We have it for today, lest someone think in restoring original Christianity that they have to get sandals and robes and grow beards and all of that sort of thing, see. Not so. Now, let's come to the Bible. Let's come back here to the appendices. And as I mentioned before, all of these appendices and the commentaries are designed to help people come to the original Christianity as taught by Jesus Christ and his chosen apostles. Now, let's come to Appendix M, page 1288 in the second edition. And this is how we titled it. And we're going to have to redo our beliefs booklet. The booklet that we send out, we had it entitled Beliefs of the Christian Biblical Church of God. Okay? But it should be entitled, and I think with the booklet, we are going to incorporate Restoring Original Christianity for Today. Now, here's what we have, Appendix M. Beliefs and Doctrines of the New Testament Church, the True Teachings and Doctrines of Jesus Christ and His Apostles as Revealed in the Holy Bible. Now, everything that you find in here recaptures what is actually in the Scriptures. So, if you don't have the tapes, I don't know if we have this digitized or not, but we're pretty close to getting it all digitized. You can get it on a CD. These you can, if you're on online, you can download them for your study. But go through all the teachings on a regular study. See, because every Church of God, regardless of the corporate name, should come to all the true original teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Now, let's come to Acts, the first chapter. Now, you've heard me mention this before, but let's just go ahead and review it again. Because the original Christianity by the apostles, teachings of Jesus, and that's why it's the fourth division of the Bible. Because Christ ties together with the fulfillment of his prophecy, and as I mentioned in a sermon, couple of sermons here recently, imagine this, all of the prophecies leading up to the ministry of Jesus Christ and everything else from there going out focused on the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus Christ. Everything. Then go back and look at the prophecies concerning John the Baptist. How long was his ministry? Maybe 6 to 9 months at the most, and he was called the greatest prophet, yet he did no miracles. So think about that. So think about the impact of the short period of time of Jesus' ministry, which tells you that the world cannot tolerate God around very long. You know, they even tried plotting to kill him from the beginning. Remember that? Remember when he came, the account there is in Luke 4, he came into the synagogue on the Sabbath and read from Isaiah 61. And then he said, today, these words are fulfilled in your ear. And they said, who is this? And what did they do? After he brought to their attention that they continuously rebelled against God, and that Elijah was sent to a widow, and the leper, Naaman the general of Syria, was the only one that was healed from leprosy. Not the chosen people of God. So what happened? They all got on their knees and repented and said, oh, Lord, bless us. No. They said, let's get this guy and throw him off the cliff. See, the world cannot handle God in their presence, even in the flesh. So that's why he chose the apostles. And he chose them for a specific reason. And let's see what he says here concerning it. Okay, Acts, the first chapter, verse 6. So then, when they were assembled together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? Wanting to know when the kingdom of God was going to be here. Now, here's his answer. Now, remember, just after that, he told Peter how he was going to die. So Peter knew that he was going to die before Jesus returned. Then Peter turned to the Lord and said, Lord, what's going to happen to him? Pointing to John. And he said, what's it to you? If I desire that he remain until I come again, what's it to you? So then everyone said, oh, Christ is going to return before John dies. Which also set up a great disappointment when he died, right? I mean, think of this. We'll look at a smaller parallel of that. How many people had their hearts and minds set on that Herbert Armstrong would live until the return of Christ? And what happened when he died? Almost an identical repeat of what happened to the church when John died, right? Scattered, infiltrated, changed doctrines. But notice what Jesus said he wanted to happen. Let's continue on. Verse 7, then he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority. But you yourselves shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. And here is the ongoing phrase that continues to this very day, and unto the ends of the earth. Now, only Jesus understood what that statement meant. Because he told them, remember there in Matthew 28? All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and you teach all nations everything I have commanded you. Now, that's why we have the three Gospels. Very important to understand. And someone will say, well, what about the fourth gospel of John? Just turn back a page and we will give you the answer. Verse 24, John 21. Many people miss this because the Bible says, in what? In the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be established, correct? So someone says, well, the book of John was just written by one man. Whereas you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so we'll accept those three witnesses, but we can't accept John. Well, they didn't read very carefully this verse. This is the disciple who testifies concerning these things and who wrote these things. Now notice, and we know who is we. The ones working with John to canonize the New Testament. So John is verified by additional witnesses, correct? Yes. And we know that his testimony is true. So therefore, you have the Gospel of John by the testimony of at least two more. Who could that be? Maybe Andrew, the brother of Peter. Maybe Philip, another one of the apostles. Maybe Mark, who is the one who helped Paul finalize his epistles and help Peter finalize his. Remember, he was about 16 when he fled at night after they arrested Jesus, and he fled away naked. Okay, that was Mark. So it could have been those three. And whoever else of the apostles were still living. So, when it says here in Acts the first chapter, unto the ends of the earth. How is that going to be done since they all died through the Word of God, through the preserved New Testament and Bible? That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And in Mark, it is published in all the world, and then the end shall come. So, let's look at it this way. Instead of fulfilling scriptures to the minimum, let's understand God always fulfills them to the maximum. So there's no doubt. That's why Peter said when he was called to Cornelius, he said, Paul said when he was brought before Festus, this thing, O king, was not done in a corner. It was well known. And that's what Peter told Cornelius too. Well known. So here we are in the end of the age. And what do we preach? And what do we teach? Not the traditions of men. Now, you listen very, very carefully to the news and the argument about Christmas, which when you really, really, really think about Christmas and the Christmas tree, that's a celebration of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, you think on that for a while, and you'll understand it. So we teach the Word of God. God was faithful to preserve the Word of God. Paul told Timothy that you've known the holy writings from a child, which are able through faith in Christ Jesus to make you wise unto salvation. And then he said, all scripture is God breathed. And when you analyze it, and I asked a question here recently, let's come to John 15. Because since we have restoring the original Bible and orders coming in and different comments being made, one man said, well, how do we know the Bible is true? So I answered him back, if you believe there is a God who is all-powerful, don't you think that he has the ability to cause 40 men, that's all, who wrote the Bible? Don't you think that he has the power to control 40 men to make them write what he wants written? I haven't heard back from him yet, but we'll find out. All right. Let's read what Jesus told the apostles. Verse 16, John 15. Verse 16. You yourselves did not choose me, but I have personally chosen you. Now let's analyze this just a little bit from the Greek. You yourselves comes from a middle voice verb, which means you being the subject or also the object of the verb. You yourself. So what he's saying, it didn't originate because you had any great desire. Now continuing. But I have personally chosen you. This is also a Greek middle voice verb. And so Christ did it for the benefit of preaching the gospel, but he did it personally. So when the object of the middle voice verb is not the subject, then it means the subject is doing this personally to someone else, in a very particular way. Now notice, and ordained you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. How long? Until Christ returns, and it goes to the ends of the earth. So the apostles are still bearing fruit through their inspired, God-breathed writings, as well as Moses and all the prophets and Christ. Now let's see something else here in, I think it is John 5. Let's come there for just a minute. Let's look at a few things concerning Moses. Now, I'm soon going to do some programs, some of the half-hour Bible answers on this, because there are a lot of people, oh, I got a nasty, nasty email. You're a heretic. Who do you think you are doing this, putting out this Bible and preaching these things? So I wrote back and I said, thank you for your Christian love. And I said, since you're challenging me, I will challenge you. Who are you? And I'm sending you an attachment entitled Rome's Challenge to the Protestants. So if you think I'm a heretic, you better read that, because you are the one who's going against God, not me. If I go against your traditions, I'm not a heretic. But if you go by your traditions against God, namely Sunday keeping, you are a heretic. So when I get emails like that, I'm not going to stand by and just chuck them away and say, oh, hum. So I got another one back from her. She was still hot under the collar. And so I said, well, have you read Rome's Challenge? I said, if you haven't, why don't you just join the Catholics? You know who joined the Catholics recently, don't you? Tony Blair. Yes. And guess what the Pope invited back into the fold? The Anglican Church, which they have sought to destroy ever since Henry VIII kicked them out. Now they have it. Okay? Same way with Moses. All right? Let's pick it up here, John 5, verse 13. 33, rather, not 13. 33. You have sent to John, and he's borne witness of the truth. Now, I do not receive witness from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. John 5, verse 35 now. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works that the Father gave me to complete, these very works I am doing, themselves bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice nor seen his form at any time. And you do not have his word dwelling in you. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? What did they have dwelling in them? The traditions. Now, our editor, Phil Neal, is writing a book entitled The Law of Moses, Judaism is Not the Law of Moses. And it's not going to be an attack against Judaism. It's just going to explain the facts from their own writings, what they believe, and their traditions in relationship to the Word of God. And then we're also going to point out that in today's world, there are many Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, and in the end time, God is going to deal with the nation that is called Israel today, which should be called Judah, in a very powerful way. And so it's going to be, like Fox News says of their news, fair and balanced. And it will not be a condemnation, you know, like so many people have today. You know, these Jews did this, and they did that, and they did the other thing. They're responsible for this, and responsible for that, and responsible for the other thing. Well, what does that prove? That only stirs up strife and hatred. But if you bring forth and show the truth in a way that's going to put it in a light that will give you understanding of the Word of God, that's what needs to be. Now, he's about three-quarters done with it. Okay. Now, verse 39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are the ones that testify of me, but you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. See, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I do not receive glory from men, but I have known you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. Now, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it, huh? Yes, indeed. And I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me, but there is another. But if another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How are you able to believe who receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? And that's the mistake that so many people make. If they're teachers or preachers, they get all caught up in themselves and how great they are. They become like celebrities. And sooner or later it catches up with them, just like it has with so many politicians and now with Tiger Woods. And as someone mentioned, in today's world, if you think you can keep a secret, you understand nothing. What did Jesus say? That which is spoken will be shouted from the housetops. See, whoever's teaching and preaching, never get caught up in yourself because you're nothing. And if you can't be a tool to serve God, and you get all caught up in what you are and what you think you are, then you become chaff. And that's the way I view the things that we do. What I'm able to do, fine. If I'm able to do it and get it done and other people help me and we produce something like we have with the Bible and the other books, fine. But what is that for? That is to create tools to help others. See? There's no personal glory in it. See, the only glory that we need to look for, all of us, is where? At the resurrection. Not now. Because this life in the flesh is sinful and deceitful, even though we're converted. We're still growing and overcoming, right? Yes. Now notice here, verse 45 becomes a very key verse in understanding how God views the Scriptures. Now hold your place, we'll come back to 45, come over here to John 6, verse 63. John 6 and verse 63. Here is how God views His Word. Because you go back to Isaiah 55 and it says, my word goes out and will not come back to me empty, but it will produce what I desire. Here's why. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. But the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And that becomes very important to understand. In other words, every word of God is living because it's inspired by the Spirit of God who is eternal. So notice what he says. Come back here to John 5 and verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you. Present tense. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have hope. Now notice verse 46. Now, if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Protestant and you have hostility to what I'm saying, will you believe the words of Jesus? Or will you believe the minister that stands in the pulpit and says, all the things of Moses have been done away? Here's what Jesus said. But if you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote about me. Okay? So we have present tense verb, one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have hope. But if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Where? Genesis 3. Genesis 15. Genesis 22. Genesis 49. Deuteronomy 18. Then if you add on the prophets to that, and the prophets still speak, correct, don't they? Yes. So this is how God is using His Word, and having preached, as I mentioned before, having published almost more than a million Bibles a year right now. Okay? And why is it the best-selling book in the history of the world? Because God intended it to be so it would go out to all people as the living Word of God. Now, we have a small part in it in what we're doing here. And we're happy to do so. But we realize that this was all done way before we were ever born. So we need to keep things all in perspective, don't we? Come over here to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Just back a page. Let's pick it up here in verse 34. Jesus said to them after the disciples asked him, well, did someone bring him something to eat? Notice what he said. My meat or my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now that was, there are two finishes to the work of Christ. Number one, John 17, he said, Father, I've finished the work you gave me to do. That's the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the apostles, getting ready to form the New Testament church. He completed that with his death. then, after being resurrected, he continued on the work of God and is going to finish that phase of it when the resurrection takes place and Christ and the saints return to the earth. Then he's going to finish the work during the millennium. And then he's going to finish the work during the great white throne judgment. And then he will say to the Father, Revelation 21, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Finish the work, finish his work. Do not say that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes. I say to you, look around, lift up your eyes and see the fields, for they are already white to the harvest. And that's what we're seeing today. Just think. There are probably millions of people searching and looking for the truth and the answers, and they don't know where to go. And we now have opportunities through the internet that we can reach every area of the world. Many other people can do it too. I hope and pray every church of God would do it. My prayer would be as many of the SDAs, especially those who keep the holy days, will also do it. And if there are any Protestants who repent and embrace the Sabbath and the holy days and really understand about the Spirit of God and so forth, that they would do it. Let there be a multitude of people doing it. Because there are billions of people out there. And whatever our part is, let God bless us as well in that. Now notice what he says. Verse 36. And the one who reaps receives a reward and gathers fruit unto eternal life, so that the one who is sowing and the one who is reaping may both rejoice together. For this saying is true, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap in that which you have not labored, others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And that's a continuous, ongoing, generational thing, is it not? Yes, it is. The result of this Bible is because of all of the honest scholars and those who preserved the Word of God down through history. We wouldn't even have a ghost of a chance of even trying to do it unless God had already prepared the way and paved the way, right? Yes. Okay. Let's go ahead and take a break.